even though the time of Tisha B'Av is spent in saying kinos, lamentations, and hespedim of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Rosh in Shulchan Aruch, which is brought down by his son, the Tur, in Tov Kuf Nun Zayin, explains that Nachem should really be said. The Rosh, explains that Nachem should be said at three tefillahs, both at Ma'ariv, at Shachris, and at Mincha. We do not have the custom to do that. We hold like the Bach, and the Bach explains that it's not possible to say tefillas Nachem in the first two tefillahs, for the reason of Meisai Mutal Lufonov. The mace is in front of you, Le'aleinu. When a person sits on the floor in Avelos on Tisha B'Av, it's not the time to say Nachem. In reality, the Torah brings down that actually the Rosh would have said at the beginning, instead of Nachem, Rachem Hashem Elokeinu. And then from Mincha, he would have said Nachem. But according to the opinion of the Rosh, it should be said for three times as a tefillah, even at the time Shem Meisan Mutal Bafonov, when the mace is in front of us on the time in the morning of Tisha B'Av. An opinion is brought down in the Gemara in Tainis Daf Kof Tes that Rav Yochanan said he would have made Tainis of Tisha B'Av on the Asara La'av, on the 10th of Av. And the reason is because only on the 9th did it begin to burn. The Beis HaMikdash in reality was burned totally on the 10th. But Chazal explained, Atchalto de Golus Adifa, the book Puranas, the beginning of the time of punishment was preferable. And therefore, from the beginning of the time when it first took light and it was burnt, Layoneinu, from then we mourn over the Beis HaMikdash. Under those circumstances, we can understand that the Rosh would have said, to say it for three times. Because from the first beginning of the time of the Churban, from that time we ask for Rachem or Nachem Hashem Elokeinu. We must understand what is the meaning of a tefillah under these contexts. It's not a kinah, it's not a lamentation like you have in Sefer Kinos. But tefillah has something more. A tefillah is supposed to bring you back to the circumstances that they were before, to the circumstances that there was previously. That's the nature of a tefillah for Nechoma. That's why we say, Atok tokum terachim tziyoim, tivne chaymos Yerushalayim. You, the Ribbono Shel Olam, should have rachim and tivne, and bring them back to the circumstances that they were before. Bring back those times of the tiferes, of the glory of Klal Yisrael, and that's the tefillah for Nachem. Let those times be returned, let them come back again. And that's the Nachem. The tefillah of Nachem is asking that let us be brought back to the time when the first walls were beginning to burn. From that time, take us back to previous to that time. We're not mourning over the time of the destruction, we're mourning but from before that time. We lost that time. And that the tefillah for Nachem is to revert us back to the previous glory, to those times of previous. That's what a tefillah for Nechama is. If you remember, when Yitzchak brought Rivka into his home, the pasuk says, Vayevieha Yitzchak ho'eha lo Sarah. Now Rivka was brought into the tent of Sarah. Vayikach es Rivka vatihi loy le'isha. Vayeehover, and he loved her. Next words, Vayinochem Yitzchok acharei imoy. Then came the Nechama. What was the Nechama? Rashi explains that Kol Zman that Sarah was in the house, there was a bracha on the dough always. Ne'er doylek me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. Anan kavei, there was an anan above the tent. There was a tremendous kedusha, there was a greatness of ruchnius when Sarah was there, which disappeared when Sarah died. And now when Rivka came in, it all returned. And that's why Vayinochem Yitzchak. He felt comforted. He felt it had come back to what it was before. The tefillah of Nachem is the same. Bring us back to those times that they were before, that we enjoyed that kedusha, that dveikus, that connection. And that's what Nachem is doing. Perhaps we can take it further in the following context. We always ask, there were perhaps three types of shleimus that we ask for. Le'aleinu, when a person is sick, we ask that they should have a refuah shleima. Refuah shleima means never again being sick. Complete recovery, never to return. Refuah shleima. In a few weeks' time, we're going to be busy searching and finding ways in which we can make a tshuva shleima. Tshuva shleima means never returning again to those things which were done mistakenly. Tshuva shleima. A geula shleima that we daven for is asking the Ribbono Shel Olam to take us back to those times that there were, and never again to return to sitting on the floor and crying over Churban HaBayis. And therefore, it's a tefillah for shleimus, that it should go back as it was previously to those times. And that's the nature, and why we say at the beginning, Nachem Hashem Elokeinu. It's a tefillah that you'll see inside this tefillah is also a kina which comes out. And therefore, like the Rosh, it is appropriate that we should understand and learn what we're going to say at Mincha time as a kina and also as a tefillah. In order to make it easier and to understand it, perhaps the tefillah can divide it into three. The first six phrases in Nachem are as follows. The first is Avele Tzion. The second is Avele Yerushalayim. And then, after these first two descriptions of Churban, we are given four descriptions of what the Churban was like. The city of Yerushalayim, ha'aveilo, ha'chareivo, ha'bezuyo, v'hashoymeimo. The meaning is as follows. Again, let's start. Aveile Tzion, aveile Yerushalayim, ha'aveilo mibni bonero. The meaning of aveilus means without her children. Ha'chareivo refers to who is destroyed. Mima'oinoiseho, from her palaces. We'll explain. Habazuya, who is disgraced from her glory. Hashameima, who is desolate from her inhabitants. Those are six phrases which describe the conditions of the Churban. But look carefully. Following, there are six descriptions of what she looks like. Vihi Yosheves. Six descriptions. It may be suggested that these six images, which are later, now following, are to be matched with the first six. This is what she looks like, Yerushalayim. Roisha Chofui, her head hanging in disgrace. Number two, Ki Isha Akova Shelo Yoloda, like a lady who hasn't given birth. Vayavalu HaLigyonos, and the invading armies have swallowed her up. Vyirashuha Oivdei Zorim, and the Goyim have inherited her. They have placed your people under the sword, and they have killed mercilessly and with great devastation Chaside Elion, the pious ones. Perhaps Chazal meant in this tefillah that the first six conditions can be understood by the six conditions of portraits of imagery which follow. And that's the first part of the Shia. When we say Nachem, maybe we can learn it and understand it in the following way. The first condition of Churban was Avele Tzion. That is to be matched with Roisha Chofui, with a distinguished yet disgraced. We must explain. The word Tzion is from the word mitsuyon, to be outstanding, to be prominent, to be distinguished. Mitsuyan. Yerushalayim was the mokom ha-mitsuyon shel ha-shechina. The greatness of Yerushalayim was because it was, in Chazal's terms, in the words of Kabbalah, the tzimtzum of all the Shechina, the essence of all that there was of the Kedusha, which could possibly be b'shachanti b'soicham, for the Shechina to live amongst Klal Yisrael. We say, Meloi chol ha'oretz kevoidoi. His honor fills the whole world. He does. But there's more to it than that. An apikoyos, said the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Lamates once came in front of Rabbi Gamliel and asked him in a very scorning way, how many shchinas are there in your people? How many divine presences are there? You can't have a shchina here and shchina there. At the time, when the apikoyos asked Rabbi Gamliel, his servant was standing in the room. Rabbi Gamliel turned around and smacked the servant across the head and said, what type of servant are you? Said the apikoyos, why did you hit him? This is your servant? How can he allow the sun's rays to come in and shine so strong in front of this room? Doesn't he know to close the curtains? Said the apikoyos back, he should close the curtains. But why? How does that answer my question? Said Rabbi Gamliel, tell me, how many other places on the planet does the sun shine with such brilliance? Here and there and everywhere. Said Rabbi Gamliel back to him, don't you understand that the sun was only one of the ministers of the Creator? The Shemesh is only one of his creations, and it shines everywhere, the sun. So why can't the Shechina, who is the presence itself, shine everywhere? He's everywhere to be seen. Why is it so difficult for you to perceive? Said Rabbi Gamliel to the apikoyos. If that is the case, what does it mean that Tzion is the mokum mitsuyon, the remarkable, the essence, the distinguished, the highest place of all? It means as follows, that even though his presence is felt everywhere, there is something called an essence, and that is the distinction of Yerushalayim. When you daven, if you're davening in from Los Angeles, if you're in Melbourne, if you're in Johannesburg, wherever you daven, you face Yerushalayim. Why? If Meloi chol ha'oretz kevoidoi, so it's good wherever you are to daven to him. The answer is that you must face towards, says the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tzadik Dalet, you must face and imagine as if you are standing in the Kodesh Kadoshim. Why? Because that's the essence of the place. That is the source. And that's why it was called Avele Tziyayim. The tachlis of all of the Kedusha in the world was to create a place for his Shechina. In the terms of Chazal, it's called Chibur Shamayim Ve'oretz, that connection. That is why it was called Tziyayim. It was perfect. It was distinguished. It was prominent. There is an expression brought in the Medrash Tanchuma that whatever happened to Yosef happened to Yerushalayim, to Tzion. Vayisnaktu b'Yosef. They cunningly found a way to get rid of Yosef. Al amcho yarim usoid. They did the same with Tzion. V'Yisrael ohav es Yosef. He loved Yosef. Ohev Hashem sha'arei Tzion. Ribono shel Olam loved Tzion. They said about Yosef, Hamoloich Timloich, this perfect, this Mitzuyan of Yosef, of Yaakov's children, Hamoloich Timloich, Oima Letzion, Molach Elohoich. Vayachaloim Yosef Chaloim, Beshuv Hashem est Shiva Sion Hoyinu Kecholmin. Leich no Urei est Shaloim Achecho, Dirshu est Shaloim Hoir. והנה אנחנו מעלמי מעלומים בו יובה ברינו נויסי אנו מויסוף. The best portrayal, profile of what Tzion means was Yosef. That Tzion was the perfection which what Tzion represents. Yosef was that by Yaakov. Yerushalayim is like that for Klal Yisrael in our relationship Bein Adam LaMokom. The tragedy was, if we can make this shirch, the Roishai Chofui, the first of the images which we're given in Nachem, perhaps matches Avele Tzion. Chofui means disgraced. When David HaMelech was forced to run away from Yerushalayim because of his son Avshalom, the Pasuk says, V'David oile b'mala hazesim, oile uboiche, climbing up harazesim and crying, V'roishoi chofui, and his head disgraced, V'hu hoilech yachaf, barefooted, Asher itoi om, and all the people with him, V'chofui ish roishoi, V'olu oile uboiche, a very, very sad group, climbing up harazesim, barefoot, crying, V'roishoi chofui. The king was disgraced. When Ahasuerus came back into the room and took one look and saw that Haman was lying on top of Esther, the Haman noifel al Esther, and the king screamed out, Hagam nichboishes amalko, imi babayis, does he want to take as well my wife? The Haman roishai chofui. He was disgraced. That is Aveli Tzion, chofui. And therefore, the kina inside this tefillah begins with what was outstanding and glorious. Tzion, Hamatzion, Roisha Chofui, was hanging in disgrace and shame. The second description which we have is Avele Yerushalayim. Perhaps it can be matched with Ki'isha Akora, Shelo Yolodo. What is the match between the Avelim of Yerushalayim to a woman who is unable to have children? Chana, when she made her tefillah in Shmuel Aleph, cried out, V'chana medaberes al libo. She cried out on her heart, Ribbono shel Olam, says the Medrash, am I a malach or am I a human being? If I'm a malach, well, a malach doesn't eat or drink or sleep and doesn't have children and lives forever, then I am going to do the same, Ribbono shel Olam. I won't eat. If I'm not going to have children, let me live forever. What am I if I'm made like a woman, so let me have children? The tzar of Chana was that she was unable to fulfill her mission. She had a tachlis, and she felt incapable of the frustration of not fulfilling this tachlis. The Avelis of Yerushalayim is to be matched with an Isha Akor. For what reason? Yerushalayim was meant to be the forecourt for the Kodesh Kodoshim. There was a city which surrounded the Kodesh. Any magnificent building in the world, if you ever visit any of the palaces in England, Buckingham Palace, Windsor Castle, or in France, the Palace of Versailles, any magnificent building always has what's called an impressive forecourt, because it tells you what's about to come. It leads you up. You don't walk off the street into Buckingham Palace. You walk into a magnificent, there's a forecourt there. So it is with Ruchnius. Anything which is an outstanding architectural feature in Ruchnius always has an entrance lobby. You don't go from the beach during Chodesh Av into Zichroinois Malchus B'Shoifrois. No, you first of all have a month of Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. You don't fall into Rosh Hashanah, you go through Elul first. That's the forecourt. What's the forecourt, Lo'aleinu Chas V'Shalom, for this immense day of Tzar in Klal Yisrael? There's a whole progression from the 3 weeks to the 9 days, to the 3 days, to the Shavua Shachalvoi. It's all a forecourt. You are led into this time. The purpose of Yerushalayim was to be a mokum of Kedusha, so that you understand and appreciate what exactly is the Kodesh and the Beis HaMikdash. The frustration of Avele Yerushalayim is the inability of her to perform this function. And therefore, she's frustrated, Yerushalayim. She is like an Isha Akola, incapable of fulfilling what she really is there for. Avele Tzion is not Avele Yerushalayim. Avele Tzion is Voishoi Chofoi, she's a Matsuyenes with disgraced honor. Avele Yerushalayim refers to those who are incapable of doing what they should be doing. Yerushalayim, the Gemara in Baba Basra brings down, they brought children to Yerushalayim so that the children would see the Kohanim and see the Talmidei Chachamim in Yerushalayim and have a tremendous, tremendous inspiration for Torah and mitzvahs. That was her mission, Yerushalayim. She had a Kedusha, you could eat Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim, but intrinsically she was a forecourt. Aveilim of Yerushalayim suffered because they were incapable of fulfilling this function, like an Isha Akor, Shalo Yoloda. And that's the Kino, and that's the Tzar. The third description that we have is Ha'avelo Mibli Bonecho Vayeval Uha Ligyonis. This is a different type of Kino. Avelos, the previous one, is a woman who is incapable to fulfill her function. Yerushalayim not able to show her Kedusha. Ha'avelo Mibli Bonecho. She has children, but it's called a severed potential. They were there, but they're taken away. Because Vayevaluha Ligyoinas, the army, the enemy, took away that potential. Perhaps there are two types of Avelus on human beings. There's an Avelus of a Talmud Chochem who reached his prime and then passes on to Olam Habo and Gan Eden. The Avelus for such a person is that his Kedusha is missed. But Lo Yaleinu Chas V'Sholem was another type of Avelus. When a child is born to parents and they take the child to a bris, what is the simcha there by an eight-day-old child? He's a nothing. Can't even lift his head up. Can't feed himself. Can't do anything. What is the nature of the simcha by a bris? When they turn around and say, Ze'akot n'godol yiyeh. Kishem she'nichnas labris, kein yikones l'toira u'l'chupo l'maisin toivim. The potential is the great simcha. The avelus lo yaleinu, if that child doesn't carry on living, is it's called destroyed potential. Higher than the bris, the simcha of a bar mitzvah is greater. Because now the child has, if we could say, gone through the forecourt. Now they're ready by themselves to mekabel oil, Torah, and mitzvahs. That child has immense potential. He can become a great person in our people. If that child doesn't survive more than the bar mitzvah, that's called severed potential. The Talmud told me of the great Rosh Yeshiva here in Pachad Yitzchok, Yonas and David, was once asked at a chasna, Rebbe, why is there such a simcha at a chasna? What is this? So two people get married, two young people. Why is it called, in the words of the Maharal, it's called Ahavaya Elokit? Like we have Kol Soson, Kol Simcha, Kol Chosin, Kol Kala. That's what it was like at Sinai. There were six koilos. It's an enormous, enormous divine. Why? Said the Rosh Yeshiva. Because of the enormous potential in the couple. Look what they can achieve. They can build a home. They can have a family in Yitz Hashem. They can develop. This is the future of Klal Yisrael. That's the simcha. If Lo Yaleinu Chas V'Sholem, it doesn't survive, that's the Avelus. The Avelus is Ha'Avelo Mibli Boneho. She had it in her, but now it's been taken away. Because Vayevaluha Ligyonos, because the armies have severed that potential. The Briskorov was once asked by a Talmud, how can we possibly perceive the Holocaust? He explained with a moshel. A person is moving home. The Savarim, the movers, come into the house, and they start dismantling and taking everything through the front door. As they pick up the beds, they walk through the door, and the owner is watching as they're taking everything through. Then they come to a large cabinet which is standing against the wall. They pick it up, and the owner turns around and says, "Wait 1 minute! Don't do that! You can't possibly, that's not going to go through the door. If you take it through the door, you'll ruin the cabinet and probably break the door. Don't do that." He insists that they take the cupboard to pieces. "You must dismantle it. Take it down, smaller and smaller pieces, and then I'll have all the pieces intact afterwards. You can't possibly take it through the door like that," said the Buskarov. "It's impossible to perceive of a number of 6 million. It's just beyond our scope." Last week in Haunov, we went to a levaya of a 17-year-old girl. One girl who wasn't able to reach her potential. Sava Kleiner, their husband, was 17. One person never reached her potential. The tsar is enormous. The levaya was heartbreaking. Multiply that by 5. Multiply it by 20. Multiply it by 1,000. Kinderlach never reached potential. That's the tsar. Avela mibli bonel. There were children, but they never reached their potential. That's the tsar of Vayeval Luha Ligyonis. They severed that potential. The next description is Hachareva Mimoinoiseho, who was destroyed from her palaces. Because what happened? Vayirashuho Oivde Avodi. The word ma'oin is usually referred to a mokum of kedusha. Hashem ohati ma'oin kodshecho. Ma'oin means those places of kedusha. And now look what happened. Perhaps it's matched with the goyim taking over that property. We who live in Yerushalayim have the most unbelievable vivid portrait. You go into the old city, Punkt, Dafka, in that place is their famous church. There, right there, is the place where they took over and inhabited with a muezzin and a mokum of avodas. There, right there. Perhaps the calamity is double. Not only is it destroyed, but what's worse, vayirashuho oivdei zorim, and they took over the place. The bells of the church and the call of the muezzin is one of the biggest tragedies of the old city. We see it right in front of us. That's exactly what happened. The Ma'oinai Seho. It's supposed to be places of great, great Kedusha. What's happened is that they've taken it over, and that's the calamity. A place which is really full of Kedusha has become a place of a church and other Mekoymas of Tum. But maybe we can take it even further. The Rosh Hashiva of Gateshead, the Chassadik Livrocha, Leib Gurovitz, used to explain as follows during the 3 weeks and the 9 days. This is the most outstanding thought that he expressed. The Mishkan had 48 amudim. 48 is numbers moyach, mem ches. The real place of Kedusha is the moyach, is the brain. Inside the Kodesh Kodoshim was the kruvim, looking like that. That's exactly the way a human brain looks like. The real mokum of Kedusha is here. That is the greatest chorban. In our times, what perhaps we perceive is that mokum which is supposed to be a tzelem elokim. We are supposed to be Nasa Odon, but Salmeinu Kidmuseinu, with tremendous potential of Kedusha. And not only has our brain and our mind been ruined, it's been trampled upon by Avodah Zarah, of all that we collect from the secular culture. Not only externally by our nation, in the place of the old city, in the places where there should be Mo'ayin Kodshoi, there is an enormous, enormous tumor of Avodah Zarah there. So also in the tragedy of the human mind, where people infiltrate, not only has it become destroyed, our whole standards and values and what we reveal as being important to us has become by Yerushu, it's become by Avodah Zarah. We treasure and we value those standards which are by no means have Kedusha. The Churban HaBayis is a Churban Atzmai. The Mo'ayin of Kedusha is us. We are supposed to be that. A Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kodosh. And the tragedy is that we in our mind have become trampled upon by Oyvei Galilim. And that's the problem. The Kino of Nachim is showing us that it's not just externally. We have to renovate and repair inside the mind and take on the real standards of Kedusha. What does Chazal say? Ein Yerushalayim shel Maila, ad sheyivnu Yerushalayim shel Mata. It won't come until there's a Kedusha Lamata. And Lamata does not mean magnificent shuls. It means principally our mind. Our own lives, our thoughts have to be ma'ayin kodshai, devoid and removed from any trampling of Avodah Zarah. Then Yerushalayim shel Maila will then follow very quickly afterwards. The next phrase, v'habazuya mikvoido, can perhaps be matched with v'yatilu es amcho Yisrael l'chorev. The disgraced from all her kavod. There is only one measure of Kedusha that we have in the Torah. We only measure Ruchnius by one scale. I remember Bavolva once explained to us in the Mir, Ruchnius is measured by kavod. How do you perceive Hashem? Kavod, Shomayim. You walk into a shul, Kovod Beis HaKnesses. A Talmud Chochem is called Kovod HaTorah. Kovod Hamok, Kovod Abrios. He represents something. There is no other way to measure levels of Kedusha but by levels of Kovod. Kovod is the barometer of Kedusha. That is the reason why every single year the forecourt for going into Kabbalas HaTorah is one reminder for 7 weeks beforehand. It should have really have been days of Chol HaMoed, first day's Yom Tov Pesach, last day's Yom Tov Shavuos. Those 7 weeks should really have been days of like a Chol HaMoed, says Rabbeinu Bachai in Parshas Emor. But it's been changed because of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, Sheloi Noagu Kovoi Ze Lo Ze. The forecourt for Kabbalas HaTorah every year is Kovoid. You don't prepare for Kabbalas HaTorah in any other way but being ready to assume that someone else has what's called Kovod Adrius. Kovoid is the way one measures a relationship of Ruchnius of another Jew. His Kovoid, his self-respect. Habzuya mikvoida means that the goyim managed in their evil to remove the kavod and the dignity of any kedusha in Klal Yisrael. Ruth Lichtenstein has written an exceptional book on the Holocaust called Witness to History. In it, she describes the following passage. What was the Germans' goal? The Germans' goal was to destroy the humanity, the uniqueness of every Jew. The Jews were shaven, dressed identically, tattooed, and starved to the same skeletal frames as one another. These measures were undertaken so that they would utterly internalize the shattering message that they were nothing more than branded animals, animals that would very soon be gone. No one was allowed any individuality, and anyone who did not blur his or her personality into the mass of faceless prisoners was immediately singled out for extinction. The barbed wire, the torn prison uniforms, the glinting boots of the Nazis, each blared a message that wormed its way into the deepest recesses of the prisoners' souls. You are nothing more than a number. You are not a kind person. You are not a good person. You are not even a bad person. You are nothing. You are nothing at all. And so any feelings that they might have had were buried in the struggle to survive. There was no happiness. There was no sadness. It was only a battle for another bowl of soup, another place to hide from the ever-triggered guns of the Germans. Unfortunately, the Nazis were largely successful. They turned vibrant, thinking individuals into a mass of robotic, walking corpses. Nothing. Bahabazuya mikvoido. When Nachem says, Vayatilu es amcho Yisrael lechorev, the chorev was not the essence of the Churban. Bahabazuya mikvoido was the essence. It was the dehumanization of those people, that there was no individuality. And yet we know the only representation of the human being is the kovod that a person has, the self-respect. Kovod shamayim, ruchnius is always in kovod. The final description, which Nachem brings, is hashoneima mein yoshev, the desolate from any inhabitants. It is to be matched with the sixth description in Nachem, Vayahagu bezodoin chasidei elyon, and they slaughtered fiercely and ferociously the chasidei elyon, the pious ones. What is the meaning of shomeimo, of desolation? The Alter von Kelm asked, why is it at the end of Eicha we say, Al har tzioim sheshomeim, shualim hilchu boi? We don't need the description of the metaphor of the shualim. It's clear by itself. What do we gain by the words shualim hilchu boy? What's behind the description of the foxes? And the Alter explains as follows with the Gemara at the end of Brochus Daf Samach Aleph on the base. The Gemara describes a conversation that Papas Ben Yehuda, who was a traitor, had with Rabbi Akiva, and he told Rabbi Akiva, why on earth are you going around giving shiurim? It's a danger. It's a pikuach nefesh. You're endangering the lives of all of the Jewish people by giving shiurim in Torah. Rabbi Akiva turned around and said, "L'mo'ad ova doime." It's comparable to a fox who walks by the bank of a river, and he sees all the fish darting backwards and forwards in the water, and he calls out to the fish and say, "Why are you running backwards and forwards and darting here and there?" The fish explained, because we have to save ourselves from the nets of the fishermen, otherwise we're caught. Said the fish, I have a wonderful advice for you. Come out on the bank, and when you're here, you're safe from the nets. You won't get trapped. Said the fish back to the fox, You are the pikeach of all chayos. Tipesh ato. You're a fool, you fox. Here in the water, at least we have survival. On the bank with you, there's no chance of survival. We'll lose everything if we come out onto the water. Says the man, sure. The fish represent Klal Yisrael, who desperately dart from place to place to keep Torah and mitzvahs. They run from place to place to find a place of refuge where they can mekayim the Torah and the mitzvahs. One thing is for sure. If they jump out of that water, then they're definitely finished. The cunning of the fox leads to shmomo. You're left with nothing. If you get out of the water, if you avoid Torah and mitzvahs, then you have Shualim Hilchu, and that's the Shmama. The Shmama is garnished. You're left with nothing. You don't have Olam Hazeh, and you'll get swallowed up and gobbled up in 2 minutes by a fox. There's no chance of survival but in the water. At least in the water you have survival. And that is perhaps the meaning when it says, Hashoneima Me'en Yoshev. By Ya'aguba Zodain Chaside Elyain, the fox's cunning is he'll leave you with nothing. And that's the where, and that's the desolation. It's not so much the desolation of the numbers, but the desolation of Ruch, being left with nothing. No Torah, no nothing. And that's the Shmama. And that's why they went for the Chaside Elyain. In one of the questions that Eichmann was asked, Hausner asked him, did you really believe that you could exterminate the whole of the Jewish people? And Eichmann said, no, of course, we realized we couldn't, and we saw that they were escaping to America, and we realized many Jews would escape. So he was asked by Hausner, so why on earth did you carry on? And he said quite openly, because we specifically targeted those areas of Chaside Elyon, meaning the Rabbonim and the Yeshivas, because if we get them, then the whole lot is finished. There's no survival. Our target was the Rabbonim and those with their payers and their garments, because if we had them, he said it himself, actually, if we could get them, the Chaside Elyon, then there's nothing left of the Jewish nation. His own testimony. Those are the six terms which Nachem describes, which are a tefillah but also a kinyan. Six terms of chulban with an imagery for each, which it can be suggested perhaps that each one matches Avei Litzion, Avei Yerushalayim, Hachaleva, Habinuya, Habizuya. Each one is matched perhaps with six descriptions, Hayosheves. Nachem then goes on to the second stage, Alkein. Al-Kain is a definitive outcome. Where are you left when it comes to having heard the six phases of destruction? Says the not the tefillah. Tzion b'mar tivke v'Yerushalayim titein koyva. Libi libi al-chalaleihem. Me'ai me'ai al-chalaleihem. What is being said in this Al-Kain? We must explain what is the purpose when you find in tefillah the words Al-Kain. Let me take an example from Nishmas. Every Shabbos morning, we stand there using our Neshama Yeseva, which is why Nishmas is called for the Neshama Yeseva. It's an allusion, and this is the reason for Shabbos, is to extol and praise the enormous, enormous chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The meaning of Nishmas is to give pure thanks. Hananahe goylomoy bechesed. Ilufinu mole shira kayamu reshoinenu rina mimitzrayim ge'ena anachnu maspikim lohoideis locho Hashem Elokeinu. It goes on like this until you reach a certain break point. Adheina azorunu rachamecho v'lo yazorunu chasodecho v'altipshenu Hashem Elokeinu lo netzach. Stop. Stop. That's the end of the first section of Nishmas. It's full of praise and appreciation for everything that we have in the Bria. Now, next words. Al-Kain. Therefore, a definitive outcome. Evorim shepilagto bonu. V'hu achu neshomo shenofachto v'yachinu. Loshon asher santa befinu. Kol berech. Ad shefa magia lakol atzmoy soitamana Hashem nichomoycho. What is the second form after you've reached the Al-Kain? What do I do with all this appreciation? Where does it take me? How am I left with all of this? I must react in Nishmas. You can't say Nishmas and then just finish off and have your cholent. There must be an Al-Kain. Nishmas is prompting a response, a reaction. Al-Kain, Evolim. Should be like, what I am, who I am, I'll use them for you. That's the purpose of Kolatz Moisai Tomama. Mi Yidmeloch, Mi Yishmeloch, Mi Yadochloch. Nachem is prompting from us a response. Al-Kain. One of the greatest features of human greatness is a reaction.
Avraham Avinu
was 100 years old, so sick that the Ribbono Shel Olam had to come and be merapeh mevakechim on the third day after his bris milah. It was purposely boiling hot. He took one look on the horizon and he saw three Arabs, and definitely not more than that. They were only, in his eyes, three Arabs. The Pasuk says, Vayah Vayorots Likrosom. Said Rav Revda, Shia Bari, there's one word missing here. Vayah Vayokom Vayorots. No. The Pasuk says, Vayah, from where he was sitting, he did a flying leap. Vayorots Likrosom. From where he sat, he didn't get up. That's called a supreme reaction of chesed. Vayah Vayorots. That was why he was called Avraham Avinu. It was a supreme reaction of kindness. When he heard about the evil of Sodom and Gomorrah, Cholila l'chol hashoyfet kol oretz lo yaseh mishpot, the reaction was the greatness. We spoke at the Yom Iyun in Neve a few days ago. There was only one reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen as the leader of Klal Yisrael. Nowhere does it say that he was the greatest Pesach, the greatest Tzaddik, the greatest Talmud Chacham. One thing we learn, and one thing only. Vayetze elechov, vayar v'siv loisom, says Rashi, nosan eino v'liboy. He put his eyes, he looked. I remember hearing the Rosh Hashiva of Chofetz Chaim, Rav Leibowitz, once explain, nosan means nosan eino, it was not a public inquiry. He was not a tourist, he was not a traveler, he wasn't taking pictures, he wasn't an observer. Vayah, he looked, he saw Enoch, he understood their trauma. The Levite, and he felt it. That is why he was chosen. The Medrash explains there was no other reason why he was chosen. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam said, because you left the palace and wandered the streets looking after my son, you can look after them forever for me. And that's why Per El Per Adaber, that was the reason why he was chosen. His reaction. Why was Esther called the pivot of Purim? Says the Loshan, when the messenger came in and told Lahashmid La'aragula Abed, one word sums up her reaction. Batischalchal Hamalko. What does it mean, Batischalchal? Two opinions in the Gemara are given. Rav says, Batischalchal means, on the spot, instantly, she became Tamea. Immediately, because of that reaction. Because hearing that news, immediately she became a Tamea. Shmuel says, she lost total physical control of her bowels. She had no control of herself. Batischalchal. Total wreck, physically. That's why she said, Nafshi b'sheilosi, v'ami v'vakoshosi. The reaction was supreme. A reaction is everything. Nachaim begs us, Al Kain, don't sit on Tisha B'Av on the floor without a reaction. Al Kain, one must react. I remember after the Gulf War, when all the missiles were sent over, we had here living in Har Nof one of the greatest gedolim, perhaps of our time, the Moshe Shmuel Shapira. After we went into the Cheder Atum each time, everybody sat there and behaved like Malachim, no, in the Cheder Atum. After it all happened, I went over to the Rosh Yeshiva and I said to him, we were good kinderlach in the Cheder Atum. Chaval, it didn't last. He turned round to me and said to me, I suddenly realized who I was talking to. He turned round to me and said to me, no, he didn't give me a patch on Ponim, but I certainly felt it. He turned round and said, felt tzavas in Klal Yisrael. You needed the Cheder Atum in order to remind yourself what happens at the tzavas of Klal Yisrael. You needed the Cheder Atum. The reaction. That's what Nachem wants from us. Al Kain. Two forms of reaction. Libi, libi, may I, Libi is my lave, my heart, an emotional response. Umeyai means contemplation, machshavo, kloyos, the thoughts, deeper. Meyai is I consider it more. Libi, libi, meyai, meyai. I don't know. We are perhaps numbed a little in our generation that we're not able to sit on the floor on Tisha B'Av and cry like they did in the olden times. Many people recount the stories of in Yerushalayim, people cried on the floor and they felt the tzar. I don't know, it doesn't seem so apparent in our times that we feel and we act like that. But we're not allowed to react with a dumb reaction, with a numb reaction. Says Nachem, libi, libi, may I, I must react with my heart and I must think it through. What does it mean sitting on the floor and mourning over the Abelus base of the Beis HaMikdash? One can perhaps ask a question, why does it say libi, libi, may I? Why twice in each word? Libi or may I? Why libi, libi, may I? Perhaps it's an allusion to a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Tes. The Gemara explains that whenever Klal Yisrael are ever in Tzar, the Shechina is also in Tzar. Kalani mei roshi, kalani mei zari. My head hurts, says the Shechina. My arm hurts. I hurt for your hurt. Libi, libi, may I. I react like you do, says the Shechina. That is what is needed. In order for him to react, we must react. First we react, and then he reacts. Libi is the Shechina reacting as well. Perhaps, not just our reaction. Finally, is there a nechoma inside the tefillah? Ki ato Hashem. Bo'esh hitzato. Uvo'esh ato osid livnoisa. Kamu v'ani ele lo num Hashem chaymas esh. Soviv lo kovay deheye b'saycha. There isn't time, and it's not the opportunity, to go in and explain exactly why Eish and Eish. But one question must be asked, because it's apparent, Ki Ato is the Nechoma. Why is it that the Nechoma of Klal Yisrael is the same as the Tzora? In Eish it was burned, in Eish it will be rebuilt. Why in the same circumstances that the Chulban took place with Eish, is there a rebuilding in Eish? And that is apparent of what Nachem is telling us. It happens the same way. It's going to happen the same way. The tikkun, the repair, the renovation, the next Beis HaMikdash, the Eish will come back in Eish. Why? Why the same formula? Why in Eish? It was destroyed in Eish. We can explain, perhaps, with an Ovis to Reb Nosson. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai had a child who died, Lo Yalein. Each of the Talmidim came in to comfort him. Reb Yossi, Reb Shimon, Reb Elazar ben Hyrcanus, each one came in with his own formula of Nechoma. The first one came in and said, Rebbe, Adam HaRishon had a child who died, Hevel, and he was comforted, so Rebbe, you must also be comforted. So Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, that's no Nechoma for me. In came the second one. Aaron had two sons who died, and he was comforted. Rebbe, you must also be comforted. So Rebbe Yochanan, it doesn't work. That's not a nechoma, and he was sent away. David HaMelech lost Avshalom, and all these children who were brought in as references to having lost a child, Lo Aleinu, each time Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai said, it's not a nechoma for me. The last one who came in was Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Yesh Ramim was Rebbe Elazar ben Aruch. Machlokes the Gaon said it was Rebbe Elazar ben Aruch. He came in, and this is what he said. Rebbe, Moshe l'ma'adov adoyma, I will give you a parable of a king who left the country for a few months, but his most precious diamonds, he didn't want to leave in the safe. He gave it to his trusted servant. And he handed them over and said to them, please guard my diamonds for me. When I come back, I want them intact. Every day, most of the day, the servant checked the diamonds. He was panic-stricken that it shouldn't be returned in the correct way. Fortunately, the king came back after a few months and he returned the diamonds back. And the king said, I thank you for returning back in the same way that I gave them to you. Said Rebbe Elazar ben Aruch to Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rebbe, when you're given a child is a pikodoi from the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. He expects you to return it back intact, in the same kedusha and shleimus as it was given. Elokai neshama shenasato b'tahoyrohi. He wants it back intact. Rebbe, said Rebbe Elazar ben Aruch, you looked after the pikodoi, you returned it intact. Said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Nichamtoni, Rabbi Elazar, Nichamtoni, Kederech Shemenachami b'nei Adam. I thank you. You gave me a comfort. We must try and understand, why did the Nechama of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah work, and yet all the other Talmidim failed? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah showed Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that his nechama is there right in front of him. It's not an extraneous factor. From the troubles and the trials that he went through, the nechama is from that tzora. It's not what you think, like all the other Talmidim were trying to say. Someone else had that difficulty. No. From where the tzora comes from, Ba'esh hitz'ato, in Eish it was destroyed. That will be the koyach of the Geula. There is, ladies, a remarkable lesson to be learned from these times of Ikras of the Meshicha, of what the Torah that we're going through now. Look carefully a little bit back, first of all, in history. How did the Geula from Mitzrayim take effect? Moshe Rabbeinu, who was cast into the water, from that situation came about the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael, because he was there in the palace, and that's where the leader came out. And he was the whole catalyst who brought about the whole Geula. From Golas Bovel in Babylon came out the greatest possible lifeline that Klal Yisrael have ever had in the whole of their Golas. Talmud Bavli was written in the circumstances of Golos in Bovel. Plus, the Nusach of the Tefillah of Anshei Knesset HaGdoila was an outcome of the Golos of Bayis Rishon. Golos Mordai Uporas, Esther having been thrown into the palace and become the wife under the most torturous circumstances of Achashverosh, she was the pivot of Purim that brought about the whole Geula. Because the Chashmonaim were Ma'atim, the Chaloshim, the Oiskim Batoy, because of that they were privileged for the Nisim of what they had in the time of Yovan. What I'm about to say, I would never in my own Koyach ever be able to say this. I am only repeating the words of a great lady in Klal Yisrael. Rebbetzin Grunfeld, Judith Grunfeld, was once asked, how come in our times there's never been such a proliferation of Torah as there is in our times? There's no room in any yeshivas. Said Rebbetzin Grunfeld, there's only one scene you must portray in your minds. You must go right back to the smoke chimneys of Auschwitz and Birkenau and Belsen and Dachau and Mauthausen, and go right over into Yeshivas Mir in Meir Shorim, Lakewood in New Jersey, and make that scene to Ponovich and Chevron. That is the outcome of the Tzoros, of the Golos, of Edom, of Germany. They, in their greatness, their Kedusha, have created a scene of immense proliferation of Torah in our times. And that is what Nachem is telling us. The difficulties that our people are going through, there's enormous. It seems as if there's a gezar din in our times against B'nai Torah, that they are only allowed to marry off their children by going into incredible debt to marry off a child. The illnesses which people are suffering, which apparently seem to have almost a dead end, and who knows where the refuah will come from. The rising anti-Semitism, the enormous change in the way nations look at Klal Yisrael. These are terms of Golus but they are terms of Geula. Nachem is teaching us that these same terms which show apparently great tzar turn around eventually and become the seeds of Geula which we are now experiencing. It doesn't come from outside, from extraneous. It doesn't come like that. Mitzrayim, Bavel, Poras, Yovan, it never happened like that. Rebbetzin Grunfeld was telling us, was teaching us, that the way it turns is because of those difficulties. And that is the reason, ladies, why the end of Nachim ends with the words, Baruch Atah Hashem, Menachem Tzion Ubonei Yerushalayim, in the present. The Chaim Volozhin explains, the nature of a death is after 12 months, the avelus disappears and the person is not forgotten, but it's less in pain. That's the nature of time in avelus. So how come we sit on the floor thousands of years afterwards and we still mourn? Because every single year when we sit on the floor at Tisha B'Av, it is by no means a historical reminder of the Churban HaBayis. The significance is far greater than that. The significance is that we are mourning now because these are the signs of the Geula. Kol ha-mis'avel al Yerushalayim zoyche v'roya, in the present form, because that is the nature of how the Geula will come about. If we sit in our armchairs and make a nothing of Tisha B'Av and assume that the day is a nothing, then already we are what's called corpses in the terms of Shamayim. We have to feel. From the Alkein comes the present Geula. From that reaction, that current present feeling of in the present, now, the current feeling, that is the Shemesh of the Geula. That's what Chazal mean, Kol ha-mis'avel zoicha, at the moment, at the time. Nachem turns from being a kina into being a tefillah, and there is tremendous Nechama Shleima at the end. We've already passed Chatzos on Tisha B'Av. It's already time for saying Nachem. We must work through the formula in our minds, the portraits and the terms and the conditions of Churban, which are shown by the imagery of each point. But it must take us somewhere. The Nechama Shleima will only come about if we react with an Alkein in the proper way. We take it to heart. We understand the difficulties of Klal Yisrael. If we can't cry, we cry inside because we appreciate the difficulties that our people are going through at these times. But these seeds, these thoughts, are the seeds of the Geula, because Ba'esh Yitzata, it will come about that way. Our greatest possible hope is to mourn on Tisha B'Av, because that mourning signifies our closeness and our devotion to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who knows? Maybe this is why every single year we go from our bakashas for a Geula Shleima, which will eventually lead into a Tshuva Shleima, and that's how we start the year. Maybe that's the meaning of Menachem Tzion Ubayne Yerushalayim. The real Nechama comes when we envisage all these points for ourselves and eventually move ourselves into tshuva, into Yemeya Elo, Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, and that is where our tikkun comes from. There is a great national avelus on Tisha B'Av, but the personal geula must also follow as well. The human mind, as we mentioned, removal of all aspects of Avodah Zarah, so that the Mo'inos, the real palace of Kedusha in our mind, should be repaired in order to do Tshuva Shleima B'Korei. Amen.